Welcome to the Central Assembly Podcast. You're about to hear another inspirational message from our weekend service. We pray that as you listen, you will encounter the life and love of Jesus and be encouraged to experience what we've found to be the best life possible.
The idea that this thought of people saying it doesn't matter what you believe as long as you're sincere about it. Has anybody ever heard that or seen that kind of lived out in people's lives? You recognize that in a couple spots? Yeah. Maybe they didn't say it out loud. Maybe we didn't verb it that exact way, but there's a lot of people who sincerely think that if you just really mean it, it's going to be enough. It's going to be okay. That Chad and I could have completely different ideas about something objective, not just subjective, like Gators versus Blue Devils or whatever, but you know, something objective, and it can somehow, those things can be opposed yet the same. It's a little bit off. Let's just be honest. It's off. You've probably heard some people say something ridiculous before, just something outlandishly foolish. Has anybody ever heard somebody say something just ridiculous? Just like, where did you come up with that? Where in the world is that ever even right? Like, where did that come from, right? You've probably heard that. Like when parents lie to their kids just to trick them into doing stuff. I just couldn't believe, you know, I saw that on David Letterman once. He said it was lazy parenting. He told his kids that fire would come out of the wall and kill him if they didn't do what he said. And it's like, it's just lazy parenting. It was with him and Will Ferrell, so trust those sources, okay? Lazy parenting, right? You just lie to your kids to make them do stuff. You're just talking foolishness. That's just crazy. Or when middle schoolers help one another with dating and relational advice. No, here's what you need to do. No, here's what you do. In all my relationships, how old are you? Okay, anyway. Ridiculousness, right? Just foolishness. Some things are just foolish. Others are and I use this word carefully and on purpose, ignorant. Some of those statements, those foolish statements, are simply ignorant, which means you literally don't know any better. You don't know any different. The problem is that sometimes these things get said so often that they become trusted. Old sayings that are awful ideas, like if it ain't broke, don't fix it. If that was true, we would all have to have walked here today. Because nobody would ever bother to invent a car because we just ride horses. It's fine. We can walk. We can get there, right? If it ain't broke, don't mess. No, maybe we can improve it, right? Let's step this up, right? So maybe every old saying is not the best. It's just maybe it's just been around a while. Excuse me. How about no news is good news? Unless you're waiting on your diagnosis, right? Right? Shut up about the no news is good news. I need some news. Right? Yeah. No news is not good news. Or if you're on the other end of a radio, breaker, can you help me? Must be good. You know, I didn't know news is good news, right? That doesn't work. Yeah. Very situational, very messy. So this series has challenged some chatter, some of those things that maybe even have been attributed to God and assumed as true statements. Stuff that we've all heard, but God never really said. And today's this idea that it doesn't matter what you believe, as long as you're sincere, is one of those statements. Especially in our modern days of cultural diversity, of personal opinion, nobody wants to be told they're wrong. They just want to be say, "Well, that's good for you, but this is what I do, and that's okay for you, but here's what I do." And that falls into it doesn't match up with truth. That's the problem that runs in there. And many paths. People like to say that many paths all lead to the same God. You've ever heard that one, right? It's just not true. He's not just has different names for the same God. That's not the idea. God never said that about himself or about how to get to him. We tackled this belief on Mission Sunday because it's very appropriate. If this was true, if it didn't matter what you believed as long as you were sincere, then missions would not be important. Jesus wouldn't have said, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey all I have commanded you, because it wouldn't have mattered what they believed, right? If all paths lead to heaven, then Jesus wouldn't have said that. He wouldn't have needed to, and you and I wouldn't have to give the missions or wouldn't get the opportunity to be involved in that way. Missions would be unnecessary. But because we know that's not true, because what Jesus said is true, that's why we give and we support missionaries and their work and what's going on around the world. That's why we commemorate this with Mission Sunday and we tie these things together. Why would we even share this faith if everyone gets to the same place eventually? You know, I've been to some funerals. I've seen some Facebook posts that proclaim some really weird myths. A lot of deception and weirdness and lies. I don't mean to incriminate anybody here. If you've posted something like these before, don't get offended. I'm just want you to just read your Bible and just post things that go along with that, okay? Just tie in there. Like, when we die, we don't get wings. I've heard some weird stuff at funeral, but we don't become angels. We're people. And we'll always be people. Right? We don't become angels. You guys heard? I mean, they don't mean it that. Well, no, it's what we say. And then you talk to kids. Oh, there's an angel in heaven looking over us and flying. And then they got their wings. And no, that's heresy. That's lies. You don't become something different. You become something different, but not a different genre. You're still you, right? So we don't get wings. Dogs and rabbits and especially cats are not souls that Jesus died for. I'm sorry if that offends you, but he definitely didn't die for cats, probably didn't even die for dogs, okay? He died for souls of humankind, okay? He's up in heaven. No. Okay. We don't have past lives. I want to come back as something. No, we don't believe that. If you believe that, that's a whole nother heresy. That's a whole... I ruined Christmas. Oh, no. Oh, we won't talk about that guy. Okay, anyway. I don't know who's listening. I don't want to be the guy that breaks that news. Okay. Hallelujah. We don't have past lives. We don't come back as something else or someone else. That's not how it works. I don't care what the Hallmark Channel says. Okay? Good people don't go to heaven. Good people don't go to heaven. Saved people do. It's important that we recognize that. There's a difference, right? You can be a good person and be really lost in your sin. You can do all kinds of good stuff and be lost in your sin. This is not a message that's some bigoted power play, some stab people in the eye with this stuff so that they can feel bad about themselves, so we can stand up here and say, burn, you bunch of liars and sinners. That's not what this is about. This is not about we have the corner on truth and everybody else is wrong. That's not what this is about. This is about what is truth, and you need to seek it out and find it. This feel-good theology is messy. We've heard all these things from people who call themselves Christians, right? People who literally call themselves followers of Jesus have spewed some really weird, jacked up stuff. That's just not true. But this feel-good theology often comes from ignorance, just not learning or studying to know any better. You just say what you've heard, and it's not held up to any other standard. It's just ignorance. This feel-good theology often comes from pain. Just say and think whatever it takes to ease the grief. When we're parents, how many times have we tried to massage the situation so we didn't have to deal straight with it with the kids? We tried to figure out a way around, a good time, a story, a something to cushion the blow of how real life is, right? Because of the pain that we feel or because we know they'll feel, we try to figure out some way to cushion it and turn it around. And then somehow later we've got to come back and fix that, right? Pain often leads to a feel-good theology that's just not true. This feel-good theology comes from culture, where there are acceptable practices and commonly held ideas, where enough people do it, we'll just think it's normal. Right? If enough people put inflatable objects in their front lawn around the end of October, we'll just think that's normal. I don't know why, but we'll just come to that conclusion, right? It's a cultural practice. What I honestly believe is this feel-good theology comes from Satan. He's the father of lies, and he's trying to drag humanity into his demise. He's trying to take as many people with him. If you don't believe how diametrically opposed to goodness and your life that Satan is, then you've been deceived. He doesn't play fair. He doesn't play nice. He wants to use everything in your world to twist and connive and scheme. He'll even take truth and just misplace it or twist it or turn it backwards or point it hard at somebody else so that you ignore your... He does not play fair. He's not interested in anything good ever happening to you. And if he is, it's so that it ruins you. Right? He wants to take a real good thing and just bless you so much that you're just caught up and stuck in it. And then you're in that. And he's like, ha. He wants to mess with you. He wants to wreck, to steal, to kill, and destroy. There's no other agenda that he has. He's not your friend. He's not the fun other guy, right? Like the movies like to tell us, there's heaven's all staunch and stiff, and then there's the cool fun guy where all your friends are. That's not how it is. That's not who he is. That's a lie. This idea is these false feel-good theologies are so dangerous. They're so tricky because they feel good. They speak to parts of us that need touching, right? Whether it's pain, whether it's hurt, or whether it's I feel like I need to have a grasp on this. I need to know an answer here. And so we come up with something that seems kind of right, and so we kind of run with it. It's dangerous. We need to know the truth of what God says about it. And so that's why I invite you today. This isn't a bashing of other things or the thoughts, but I just sincerely need you to consider Jesus. Spirituality is a quite welcome and common thing in our day. People are very open to that. Supernatural and demonic are accepted as possible. Right, nobody's at a theater watching one of these horror flicks where there's demonic activity going on. Go, that's not real. I don't care about any of that. They're not debating whether that's authentic. They might even believe that or think that or have dreams and thoughts and lose sleep over that, stuff like that. Nobody's battling over that. Most of our culture will talk of praying for those in harm's way. Right, even politicians can get away with saying we're praying for those people who are hurting and wherever. Even though they're not supposed to, like, you know, believe in God or something, but all of a sudden when bad things happen, everybody's praying for somebody, right? Or we ask God to care for those people, right? So spirituality is something that our culture's somewhat comfortable with, some higher power, even naming him God. Just want to give glory to God. Every athlete comes off the field, I want to give glory to God, you know, and my mom or whoever they give glory to. But most of that openness begins to shut down when you focus on Jesus. That openness about God's good and let's pray for those people and things like that, that kind of tends to start, the walls start closing in when you start focusing on Jesus. People accept world religions and other faiths and ideas, and most of the world is even okay with Jesus, right? In fact, most of the world doesn't debate that Jesus literally existed. They kind of give that, okay, sure, yeah, he existed. He's Jesus. He was a man who walked around, did good stuff. And a lot of them even love his teachings. They love his ideas about being good, the Beatitudes and all those things. They're all about that stuff, right? Jesus is, man, I love this, what he says about do unto others as you'd have them. I like that. That's good, right? They'll like his teaching. They're okay with him on a lot of levels in our culture, in our society even. Practically nobody debates his existence or say he wasn't a real person. They're fine with that. Practically nobody on earth will argue with his teachings, his love, his goodness, his forgiveness. But the door shuts quickly when we discuss his claim as exclusive. When he said, I am the only way to God. Whoa. Shut it down. All of a sudden, everybody's got an issue. That doesn't match up with 2017 America. There's got to be lots of ways, right? It can't just be one way. Who's he to say that he's just the one way? John 14:6 records Jesus stating, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. This exclusive claim rattles most of the world. It's not the inclusive, open-minded, internet-savvy, well-traveled, multicultural way that we like to look at the world around us. So he has to be excused from most people's opinions. Now we could dive into some world religions for a moment and realizing that this sincere faith that a lot of people have is sincerely wrong. And we sound bigoted when we say that because who are we to say that ours is right, right? It gets into a circular argument. Well, because we are. That's why we're right, because we are. People don't really argue well with that. They don't listen to that too well. Well, you're just wrong. Why? Because you are, and I'm right. You know, that doesn't work out too well. That's why we're inviting you to consider Jesus. These world religions that surround us are give us better claim. If you would, I would invite you to study a little bit of it, to understand some of what's going on around the world. Because if you had never grown up around anybody who wasn't white, you'd think all people are white until you saw different. That would be ignorance, right? But you would feel it's true. Correct? If that's all you ever saw. If you never saw somebody who wasn't, you'd just assume everybody was. We don't want to walk around in ignorance. So I challenge you, look at some ideas, some core doctrines, some other faiths, and find out what it is they believe so that you can understand where they're coming from if God so positions you into a conversation with somebody. There's nothing like trying to argue from ignorance. That's a helpless feeling, isn't it? I don't know anything. I just know what I know, but you don't know what I know. I just know that I know you don't know what I know. What? So it's a hard argument to have. And we're not trying to argue. Again, we're just inviting people to consider Jesus. Many have tried and tested variations of faith, but they're simply not the same. They may be similar concepts. They may have overlapping themes or principles. There may be beauty, and there may even be some truth to these different world religions that are around us, but they are not all paths to the same end. Objectively, by construction, by composition, and by pure effect, they are not a similar path. Hinduism pursues thousands of impersonal gods through idols and appeasement. They're not personal gods. They're not gods that express love. They are just powerful things that we have to do things to manipulate and appease so that they will interact with us or give us things that we need. There's no means of forgiveness. There's no means of love. It's just they have power and we don't. Buddhism claims no God, only a mental ascent of the individual. Karma and destiny are hopeless things. So hopeless. There's no way for us to just dive into a quick study on Buddhism and Hinduism and understand what that billion plus people on earth are living through. Born into a caste system that will not allow them to become any different than they are. They cannot marry out of their social caste system. They have to find somebody else of that situation so that they can be with them. And they know that even by name, because you don't marry out of those castes, so the names are static by last name. They know family names. And you don't have a hope of improving your life or losing it. If you're rich, it's great, but it doesn't matter because it doesn't matter what you do. You're just going to be on the high end. And if you're broke, poor, and a slave or a poor person or a cripple, you're just stuck, and that's just who you are. There's no hope for anything different. It's a hopeless end, and you're just hoping to kind of maybe turn it around so that when you're done with this life, maybe you'll get a different chance in the next one. That's a hopeless end. That's not the gospel that Jesus speaks of. That's not the truth of the Word of God. Islam seeks a powerful God who is appeased by devoted adherence to behaviors and routines. Allah and the God of the Bible are not the same. Yes, they both refer back to Abraham, but it branches off there. They only consider Jesus a good guy, and even they consider Jesus a nice guy. But if you dive into much of Jesus' sayings, you can't say he's a good guy. He's either a liar because he said stuff that he's not. I am God. Stuff like that. He's out of his mind. He's a lunatic, right? He's completely lost his mind because he said all these things that I'm going to heaven. Watch me go. You know, stuff like that just can't be. Or he's actually the Lord of heaven and earth. He can't be just a good guy. It doesn't work. He disqualified himself from the good guy category. by everything he said and everything he did. That's why we're considering Jesus. Islam doesn't speak to that. Islam, the love of God in Islam is conditional. He only gives love to those who obey him. So you have to appease him of sorts. It's a very power-driven faith. His anger is fierce, and his prophet is Muhammad. New Age and mystical religions, along with other cultures, seek gods that are made in our image and our ways instead of ways that we have to learn and understand. Christianity, the God of the Bible, driven by love, provides, he forgives, he saves, and he saves us because of his goodness, not because of ours. There's beauty and truth, at least in some measure, in all of these pursuits of faith. They speak to a human need that needs to know there's something greater than us around here on this planet. But ultimately, I challenge you to consider Jesus. Not the religion of Christianity, because many people are butchering Christianity. Even organizations, some of them are butchering, some of us, I'll be honest, some of us are butchering Christianity. We've turned it into a machine. We've turned it into a business. We've turned it into a culture. We've turned it into a bunch of stuff that Jesus never said it was supposed to be. So don't just judge it by Christianity. I'm not saying Christianity's all wrong, but I'm not dumb enough to say Christianity's all perfect and right. There's some messed up stuff going on in the name of Jesus. So don't judge it by Christianity on the big picture that way. Also, don't judge it by a Christian that you've known or heard of. Because people will mess you up. They will let you down. People make mistakes. People get big followings, and then it's more than they can handle, and then they fail, and they mess up, and they take crowds of people with them. Or people use that as a crutch to fight their argument. So don't judge it based on some person, one person that's not Jesus himself. Don't judge it on the behavior of Christians. From Moses to King David to the apostles, don't judge it by that. I need you to consider Jesus. He didn't come to establish a culture or a religion or a nation. He is the way. Three thoughts. Consider the ministry of Jesus. Look at the verse that's underneath there. It's not the healthy who need a doctor, but the sick. I have not come to call the righteous, but sinners. That's what Jesus was about. The ministry of Jesus was not coming to a bunch of churches and having church services. He did do that as well, right? He attended services, but his goal was to seek and to save the lost. He went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed of the devil. He didn't come to hang out with perfect or religious people. He came to help the hurting and the lost. Consider his miracles: opening blinded eyes, healing deaf ears and broken bodies, curing the sick, feeding the hungry, calming storms, and raising the dead. Just ask the firsthand witnesses around you about the ministry of Jesus. What do you mean, Pastor? Well, look at the people next to you. You've probably experienced the ministry of Jesus. Can anybody raise a hand and say, I've experienced the ministry of Jesus in my life? Yeah. Oh, that's just, it could have been anything. No, there's times where I know. Yeah, there's sometimes where it could have been anything. Yeah, there's sometimes where things could have just fallen a certain way. But there's other times I know that there's no other way. God stepped in. God answered direct, specific prayers at specific moments and times in my life. Just look at the ministry of Jesus all around you. Consider what he has done. Don't base it on just one situation. Base it on his body of work. I can personally attest to the powerful ministry of Jesus in my life, as most of you can as well. Speaking to my heart, the timing of answered prayers, ordering my steps. I know this to be true. Well, yeah, you're a preacher. That's what you do. Well, just ask somebody who's not a preacher and talk to somebody else about the ministry of Jesus. If you don't believe us, then take their word for it. Or just go ahead and talk to Jesus yourself and find out. Consider the ministry of Jesus for yourself. Pursue him, seek him, and watch him show up in your world in ways you've never thought were possible. I challenge you to do it. And you're like, wow, that's a pretty big challenge. Well, it's just truth. I don't have, here's the fun thing about being a preacher. I don't have to back it up. He does. He does it. I don't have to do anything to make that happen. He does that. His ministry includes teaching that reveals true life, right with others and peace and results that you just cannot fake. When you obey the teaching and the teaching ministry of Jesus, your life is better. It's better than those who violate his principles and his teaching. It's just better, I promise you, I guarantee it. His philosophy and his principles are obvious and true. Laws of men the world over are attempting to legislate and make people choose his ways. Do you realize that? It's illegal to steal because Jesus knows that, and so the laws of men are trying to line up with what's right. You recognize that? All throughout human history, they've been trying to figure out ways to legislate human behavior, and it's all falling into line. When they do it right, it falls into line with Jesus' teaching. Because they're figuring out that there's something to what he said. There's truth there. Secondly, consider the resurrection of Jesus. In Acts chapter 3, they're speaking to the crowd. Peter, this is a popular message. Try this one. You killed him. don't do that. That's under the anointing of the Holy Spirit. You killed the author of life, but God raised him from the dead. We are witnesses of this. That's what Peter says. These eyewitnesses saw him living. They saw him walking around. They saw him growing, maturing. They saw him hungry. They saw him tired. They saw him energized by a good meal. They saw him living real life living. They watched it. And then they saw him arrested. They saw him beaten within an inch of his life. In fact, beyond his life. They saw him beaten beyond recognition to where people that knew him didn't recognize his face. They saw a crown of thorns shoved into his scalp. They saw him beaten and mocked and bruised. They watched it happen. They saw him nailed to sticks up on top of a hill and watched him bleed out from a spear in his side. They watched it happen. And then they watched him die. And they watched him walk back into the room with them. They watched him say, I'm with you always. And I'm sending the Comforter of the Holy Spirit. And they watched him ascend into heaven. They watched this happen. These were eyewitnesses. These were human beings like you and like me. These were people. These are not mythical legends. These are not made up people. These are people who saw this happen. They are eyewitnesses of what Jesus, his life, his death, and his resurrection. He rose from the dead. It's not a myth. It's not a legend. It's not convenient. It's just the truth. Hundreds of people saw him after his death, after he was raised from the dead. I'm so glad God is wise in his timing on when this happened, because can you imagine the doubts and skepticism in our age if Jesus died and rose again? The government did it. We could even have it on video, right? And what would everybody say? Oh, they doctored the video. They edited it. It's not real. Because we've seen all the special effects that men can do, right? It'd be so questioned and so scrutinized. And it's just the truth. There are people that are believers. There are historians who were followers of Jesus. There are historians who were not, that all attested that this man lived and died and rose again and was interacting with other humans who saw him after his resurrection. It's the truth. It's real. It's supernatural. And it's critical, because if he didn't rise from the dead, then we're all wasting our time. He was just a good man and a liar, but he said, I'm going to die and I'm going to come back. And he did. So consider that. Well, I haven't seen him, Pastor. It's not my personal experience. Well, that is true. That's unfortunate. But I guarantee when you reach out to him, you'll sense and know and you'll experience how alive he is. I guarantee it. It's funny to think that these guys, you know, people say, well, maybe the apostles faked it. Maybe they just made this story up. They went, they overpowered the Roman guards, which, good luck with that. They rolled the stone away. They took his body and hid it. It's never been found. Okay, whatever. Maybe these uneducated fishermen got together and devised the most intricate and elaborate scheme of human history, dreamed it up, and then somehow pulled it off with no resource and tricked all of us. And then, not even on top of that, they didn't just pull it off. They literally died for it. It's one thing to make up a story, but the testimony of the disciples and their eyewitness accounts is validated by the fact that under pain of torture and death, these men, there's nothing to gain. There's nothing to gain from them making up this story about Jesus. They didn't gain a dollar. In fact, it cost them everything. Persecution and pain and issues like you and I would never understand. And they went through that because they saw it was real. They saw it happen and they proclaimed the truth of who he is. Consider his resurrection. It changed their lives. It changed my life. It will change your life. Consider the eternal message of Jesus. This is the last point in case you need to get optimistic with me. We all know Romans 3:23. We've heard that one. We've said it a lot. But what about Romans 3:22? The righteousness from God comes through faith in Jesus Christ to all who believe. To who? All. There is no difference. And then he goes into it. There's no difference for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. There's no difference between Romans or Greeks or race or gender. There's no difference there. No matter who we are, we can be saved. Not because we earn it or deserve it or achieved it somehow. It's not a system of religion to manipulate. I think that speaks such a volume to every other version of faith or every other doctrine or belief that's out there. Because this is simply not something that we can manipulate. I can't say the name of Jesus enough times that he has to do something for me. It's a relationship. It's not a manipulation. It's not a business contract. It's a relationship. I can't just say it whenever I need it. That stupid Christian song, we talked about that in Sunday school today. Just say Jesus. Well, it doesn't work that way. I'm sorry. Just say his name. Well, no, that doesn't. It might feel good, but it doesn't work that way. It's a relationship with Jesus. It's not an incantation or a magical power name. In fact, somebody tried that in the Bible. In the name of Jesus, who Paul preaches, come out, demons. And the demons are like, Jesus, I know. We've heard of the Paul guy. Who are you? And they beat the guy senseless and sent him off running. Don't play games with the name and the power and the relationship with Jesus. It's real. See, religion is about me doing tasks and doing things to appease and conditional actions that get a response. If I do this, then he'll do that. That's religion. But consider the eternal message of Jesus that isn't religion. It's relationship. Relationship is about him first. And he is and he was and he will be. And it is finished. The work of relationship was established on the cross. The work was done. It's not, I did my part, now you do yours. It is finished. He didn't say, tag, you're it. He said, it is finished. He completed the work. It's just something that we get to receive, that we get to benefit from because of his love for us. Then we respond. Because of the love and the new nature that he gives us, we live and we choose and we do. He loves us not to move us. It's just who he is. Can we fathom that for a second? He loves us not to motivate us or to get something out of us. It's just who he is. He's not trying to manipulate. He's not trying to twist. He's not trying to gain something. He loves us. Consider Jesus. Brooke, if you'd help us close up this morning.
Pastor Steve invites you to respond to what you've just heard by putting it into action today. Thanks for listening.